next case is 99-1146, State of Ohio versus Donald Collins. Justice Resnick has recused herself from this case, and we're very pleased to have sitting in place of Justice Resnick, Justice Cheryl Waite, Judge of the Court of Appeals, sitting in the 7th District. Do you know the record?
Yes, the record was established that the paperwork was filed, the holding form was filed with the court, and I think with the employer.
Let me take it. I'd like to take the statute. It seems to me that's what's going to control.
Yes.
decision here. 2901.21, as you know, says that when the section neither specifies culpability nor plainly indicates a purpose of posted liability, recklessness is sufficient. So the section here, I guess, is 2919.21 B, right?
Correct.
No person shall abandon or fail to provide support as established by a court order. Another person by court order decree. What language there do you rely on most strongly? As established by court order, I think you refer to that in your brief. Is that,
yes.
Is that what makes this clear to us that the General Assembly meant that this was to be strict liability?
Yes, that's exactly correct. And I'm not trying to dodge the issue or anything, but I do want to refer to the 1996 version of this case, of this statute question. It appeared in 2919.21A4, and at that point, the one was under a child support order of child support merely had the duty to provide adequate support. Post 96, subsection A still provides for the adequate support. Now, this particular court order provision, however, was extricated from subsection A and assigned this altogether new subdivision, that's subsection B, that you, it was an order, just mentioned. Removed from subsection B is any reference to any term adequate or any inference that one may draw that some sort of substantial compliance requirement or standard.
So
would satisfy.
A is the, I guess we'd say, the general obligation by the person upon whom the support obligation falls. That's a general statement. B then says if there is a court order.
B takes an extra step.
Then your argument is that's the General Assembly intends that there not be some other sort of test applied in strict liability, because obviously we all are bound to live by court orders.
That's correct. But that's not the only addition. I'm also referring to this earlier decision of Taylor v. Slauson, which says that a framework to establish whether a statute plainly intends to impose strict liability instead of the default standard of recklessness under the statute that you mentioned. And it's the state's position that in keeping and applying the Slauson criteria, that strict liability is plainly imposed for five reasons. One, and you and I discussed this about the plain language of the statute, but I also refer to legislative intent, public policy considerations, in my view, and the application of strict liability.
Well, the public policy consideration, though, doesn't the appellee meet those with some of his examples of where there is not strict liability, child endangering and prostitution and watching naked children on videos? Aren't those, some of those at least, as...
Yes, sir. I'm not going to sit here and begin to defend those people for those crimes. However, those crimes do not have the adverse effect on the society and the economy that that child support, living child support
operates. Well, child endangering, if a parent's in danger, there, someone endangers a child, the community bears some brunt of that, do they not eventually? Certainly juvenile courts do.
Yes, they do, but not in the large numbers. There's an entire child support mechanism starting with the civil procedures, and also we're dealing with a court order, which none of those cases involve. They don't involve the direct violation of a court order. In this case, in these cases, there's a court order specifically outlines how much to pay, to whom it should be paid, and when to pay it. There's no vagueness involved. There's no ambiguity. And as problematic as the defendant's cases, the statutes discussed are, child endangering, child pornography, and prostitution, they do not have the broader part of society that women's child support out of the world.
You almost sound like you're making a public policy argument. Why don't you just rely on the statute? Do you need any... Is the statute ambiguous?
I don't think so.
Then why does it make any difference whether or not it's more pervasive in society, the child support issue, than child endangering? It doesn't have anything to do with this case, does it really?
I didn't hear you. I was following the following this court precedent in Schlosser, which applied several different criteria and outlined the harm to society, that this court addressed in Schlosser. In this case, as the Attorney General pointed out during the history, child support officers are in arrears statewide to $2.3 billion. They affect large groups of large numbers of innocent children, and there are large numbers of prosecutions involved.
Well, that could also be true if the General Assembly put in there that a reckless standard was necessary. You'd still have all the things the Attorney General said in her brief, all your public policy arguments, but you'd be wrong.
That's right, I absolutely would be wrong, because the statute said recklessness. Here, the statute does not apply any conceivably. It's not impose any standard of culpability. And so, as Chief Justice Moyer noted, we have preferred that other statute, which applies the reckless standard as a default mechanism, unless the statute plainly imposes strict liability. And in determining whether it imposes, plainly imposes strict liability, we look at the statute, and under Schlosser, we look at other criteria, we look at public policy, and we look at the legislative intent, and we look at the background of the statute. That support is a narrow prohibitive offense, and that's the state's view, made unlawful for the good of the public because it affects such a large number of people. It's a prescription. Irrespective of the state of mind, and the General Assembly enacted subsection B not to punish the offender, but rather to encourage compliance. And as it's also recognized, with that purpose, promote compliance, and as the several criminal law treatises that I pointed out in my brief underscore, that intention is a telltale sign that strict liability is the intended standard, not recklessness. And I remind the court that we're dealing with a court order specifically outlining the obligations and the defendant's attempt to pass off this responsibility to another party is not in keeping with the broader intent of child support legislation. And finally, we have an affirmative defense of inability to pay in this subsection. That would soften the otherwise draconian effects of strict liability. For instance, if someone is making a good faith effort and has been paying support, and for whatever reason, be it a layoff from work, an illness, or something like that, cannot make his payments, then he will not be subject to prosecution under the statute.
Thank you, Mr. Baum.
Thank you.
Mr. Boyk.
Signing the bail and waiving withholding. The Court of Appeals indicated that under the recklessness
all the circumstances. In this case, I'm
Did he see my collateral paycheck?
There's no evidence in this case that the Bureau of Child Support or the enforcement agency ever made any attempt to inquire if the money was withheld or if the money was sent.
And did you present the evidence that he did any type of
I did try the case, but there's no evidence in the record on that issue signed as far as that issue goes.
So basically, I go back to, I signed my wage withholding, I'm done with my job. That's the position you should take when you present it there?
Your Honor, as far as the reference to standard goes, you will get some motel in the circumstances. I don't believe, Your Honor, that that's a difficult standard to prove. On page 8 of the brief, that the appellant, State of Ohio, filed in the Court of Appeals, they stated, in this case, overwhelming evidence has been presented that counts as recklessly failed to support their children. So obviously, the state at the lower level indicated that they were easily able to present such evidence. But looking at the totality of the circumstances, if you adopt strict liability defense in this case, basically what you're doing is shifting the burden of proof to the defendant to prove that he's complied with the court order.
And why shouldn't we shift it?
Well,
if you have a court order, you've already gone through all that, you've already proved that you're paid, you've already proved you need the court order to pay. Why shouldn't he prove he complied?
Just because the law says
why
no.
Why should it be the mother that has to track it out or the father? Why do they have to let them go to court? Why should the father or the mother honor, mentally, morally, and legally to make sure it happens?
Your Honor, obviously, we want to pay court orders. However, if you adopt strict liability, here's what's going to happen. If the employer doesn't send the money in, then you're going to have a problem. If the employer debits the money, then the innocent person is going to be held responsible. If the strict liability system, if the money's lost in the mail, Mr. Collins and all the future defendants become felons. If what happens in this case, based on the facts of this case, you see that the Bureau of Child Support and the Enforcement Agency basically did nothing. Besides the way to wait for folding. Did they call up the basketball team in Europe? Did they send them any letters? No, they didn't do anything whatsoever. So the money may still be sitting there. What if the Bureau of Child Support applies the money to the wrong child? We've got another felon. What happens if somebody in the system has something against the defendant? So the result of a strict liability system is going to be more injustice. We believe in this case...
No, not necessarily, because the trial court would then have the jurisdiction to say it's strict liability and you have no liability. That's discretion. That's what judges do every day of their lives. Money got to you. Oh, you sent the money? Went to the wrong place? That's good evidence. No liability. They didn't withhold it? That's something else.
That's correct, Your Honor. We believe that the impact of the strict liability system will in fact cause more inefficiency and more incompetency by the Bureau of Child Support and Enforcement Agency because you're basically going to tell them you have to do no investigation whatsoever. A person's strictly liable.
Why do you suppose they amended the statute effective July 1, 1996? Just because they wanted to get away from tort reform for a little while?
That might be one answer.
I don't think so.
Your Honor, I don't think that there's any plain language, clear and unequivocal intent by the legislature to make this a strict liability defense. I would point out, Your Honor...
You don't think that language in 96 is different than the language prior to 96?
There is a slight difference, that's correct, Your Honor. But we would argue, Your Honor, that in this case, that the type of cases where you have the no person shall language, the child support issue falls more closely with the class of cases that this court has held that the recklessness standard is appropriate. The Young case on the child pornography, the E case on child endangering, Brewer on the lawful order of a police officer, Parrish on prostitution, the Court of Appeals case of laughing on cruelty to animals.
But in those cases, there's a range of activities that people may differ in there is not child endangerment. I mean, the fact that you turn the eyes off the child for 5 seconds and the child ran in the street, is that endangering? People can differ on those issues. There's a whole wide range of conduct. You pay or you don't pay. It's very simple. It's very black and white. Money comes out of your paycheck, it doesn't. You know something's wrong, it doesn't. It's very simple. It's very black and white. Your wife, ex-wife calls and I'm not getting the check. Something's wrong with the system. It's very black and white. It's not a gray area. People say, man, this conduct really wasn't endangering. I know I have to check. I have to laugh.
is about the improper argument
of the prosecutor raises in closing, rather than that there's some incorrect charge. The charge was correct. Your client was found guilty, correct?
Correct.
And found guilty on a reckless standing. So, I'm having some trouble understanding why we need to change the standards and have the proper enforcement to here. We're asked to change the standard because the Court of Appeals determined that the prosecutor engaged in an impermissible argument, as I understand.
That's correct, Your Honor.
And it recurs on the basis that the prosecutor
misconduct did not affect the outcome.
This book can do that?
Right.
The book said the amount of misconduct, I mean, of course, I'm not sure if the book can be an independent review. So
session of the Honorable Supreme Court.